Cubberty on 2FM with Super Value Travel Insurance. Holidaying at home or abroad? Don't worry about a thing with Great Value Travel Insurance at supervalue.ie.
Just aerial videos on Facebook and Twitter that showcase the likes of the Wild Atlantic Way, and there's no better advertisement for the beauty of our country. We like that and encourage it. And these videos are taken by cameras attached to drones. Now, we think of drones, we always think of Afghanistan and President Obama defending himself. But actually, drones, in other words, they're small aircraft flown by someone on the ground who's standing there with a remote control, or indeed a phone with an app on it, in their hands. These drones are getting tons of press at the moment. Yeah, you might have heard that Amazon recently vowed that in the future they'll deliver people's goods by drone within 30 minutes of you ordering on your laptop. Sean Gallagher got on board the drone phenomenon a while back, and he joins us today to talk about how everything, right down to our pizza deliveries, might soon be winging us their way to us by drone. Good morning, Sean. I should introduce you. You've brought a drone in with you because we need to establish for people who are not technical, like me really, what a drone is in this case for the casual user of one.
Absolutely. So basically, a drone is it could be anything. I mean, most people think of, you know, it's a quadcopter, something go up into the sky, and it's very easy to fly, more or less. And I think, you know, the difference between a drone and, I guess, a remote control helicopter basically is all the technology that's built into a drone. A drone technically can fly itself. I mean, it doesn't need me or you or anyone to be controlling it if it's given, you know, it's kind of a
coordinates
exactly to fly anywhere it wants to. Well, then it'll go off and do that without human intervention. So that's really what we mean by drone, that, you know, it's pilotless, it's given instructions, it goes off and does a task, be that, you know, deliveries like you mentioned, or taking images. You know?
Okay, so what I'm looking at here is this is your own drone.
Absolutely,
It reminds me of a, you know, remote control helicopter, but it's slightly bit more exaggerated.
Exactly.
That has a contraption underneath that fits what looks like a little camera.
Yep.
So, and then you have in your hand your mobile phone.
Yep.
Which is essentially
the controller. So I guess what we're looking at, I guess, for the viewers, is the DJI Phantom Vision. So basically, it looks like a remote control helicopter, but it has a camera slung underneath it. And that little kind of arm you see there is a gimbal. And basically, the gimbal can just move up and down and keeps the camera nice and steady when it's up in the air. So for instance, when I'm taking aerial photography, the wind will be shaking it around left and right, but the gimbal will keep it rock solid.
Oh, I see. So
that gives you the beautiful steadiness.
Yeah,
exactly. So it looks professional. And, you know, but it's all the technology built in there, keeping it stable with the gimbal, and also GPS. So when this drone takes off, it knows exactly where it took off from, and it knows exactly where it needs to be in space. So if I let go of the controls, it will just hover where it needs to be, and I don't have to do anything. It'll fight the wind. So actually, you know, when I was down in Ackle recently in November at the drone conference, you could just see it leaning into the wind because the 30-mile-per-hour wind's blowing, you know, off the sea. Yeah. And if the drone wasn't leaning into the wind, it'd be blown out there.
Because I walk the pier a lot, and I often see on a windy day a seagull battling with his friends the wind.
Exactly.
And he's getting nowhere. And you're just thinking, why don't you just sit behind a rock and just chill out for an hour?
Yeah.
Because this isn't going, you're not going anywhere. And I'm looking at this, it looks very lightweight.
Yep.
And I'd wonder how it could confront a wind in a country like this.
So this one can handle up to 35 mile per hour winds.
Right, okay. So it's very steady.
Absolutely. And the reason it's so light is because of battery technology. I mean, the lighter the aircraft is, the longer it can last. So this one, particular one, can last about 25 minutes before bringing it back down again. There's heavier ones out there with eight arms, and that can battle 50, 60 mile per hour winds. But the trade-off is the heavier they are, the more powerful they are, the less time you have up there. So a bigger one would take maybe 18 minutes before you'd have to bring it back down again.
So why did you buy a drone? Because this isn't your line of business ordinarily before this.
No. So I work for Accenture during the day. So I'm a technical architect there. But I saw drones were kind of coming to the forefront, if you like, last June. I guess the summer of the drone over here.
Summer of the drone.
Okay. So I went off and bought one, and I figured this is really cool. This is exactly where things are going. And then when I bought it, I figured, you know, well, why stop there? Why not, you know, try and become, make a business out of this? Why not do commercial stuff with it? So I investigated into it, and turns out that Ireland actually has some pretty, advanced rules around this that, you know, unlike America just said, no way, no commercial use at all.
Up and away, unregulated, and you're, is that it?
Yeah, well, they said that, you know, recreationally, no problem, but commercially, trying to make money with this, no way, not allowed. And, you know, all the innovations coming out of America, so they're all crying out for regulation. And, you know, they just recently published rules that look a lot like our ones here, except our ones are, you know, actually in effect. So yeah. I guess to clear it up that, you know, if you want to become a commercial operator here in Ireland, you know, you have to want to attend ground school training. So you have to learn, you know, the rules of flight, weather systems, you know, basics that you need to know if you want to become a real pilot. And then you basically then need to go off and do a some flight time. So get some practice with your drone, you know, make sure you're comfortable flying with it. You submit an operations manual, basically a big, massive manual, explain to the IAA, the Irish Aviation Authority, how exactly you go about, you know, flying your aircraft. So what we do in emergency, how you look after it, maintain it, all those good things.
Yes.
If they're happy with that, then you're basically on the road to getting an actual flight test. So a bit like your driving test, they come out there, they do a flight test with you, and they make sure that, you know, you're comfortable handling it. They simulate an emergency. And if you pass that, then you're good to go. You get a commercial permit.
So you have to have a permit to use a drone in this country.
You need one for commercial use.
For commercial use. For commercial private use, you can keep going.
Private use, you're good. Yeah.
What if you're worried about privacy? Because let's say you're sunbathing, particularly if you're, say, a woman, and your neighbor happens to be a lonely drone owner, and he can send it up, and before you know it, he's got himself sorted for the next week or so with footage.
Exactly. I mean, yeah, that's obviously a concern.
It would be, wouldn't it?
It would be, absolutely.
I mean, if I was sitting there, or if your missus is sitting there looking up going, what is that? Then you realise it's a camera, and it's looking at you, and you just think, what recourse do you have justice-wise?
Well, I mean, the rules are at the moment is that the drone has to be in visual line of sight. So if you see the drone, there's going to be someone with a controller. So you can then obviously go over there. And all the rights around, you know, me being on images still apply. There's nothing different that a drone took an image. If I go up to you and take an image of you sitting there sunbathing, the same rules would apply that, you know, take that off, delete that, that's not yours.
Right, okay.
So there's no difference in that. I think the issue would be, you know, it's further up. I don't know where that drone coming from. Because the rules are saying, though, that you cannot let the drone leave your visual line of sight. You're going to track that person down because
you cannot leave your visual. Say that again.
Cannot be outside of visual line of sight. So I can't send this drone, you know, over your back wall, for instance, and not be able to see it. I need to be able to maintain a visual line of sight of the drone. It can't go hundreds of miles in that direction without me seeing it. So it must maintain a radius of 500 meters around me, regardless of the strike ratio or not.
We could tap you on the shoulder if needs be to say,
absolutely, yeah.
Hang on a second.
Yeah.
Okay, but in happier and less sinister usage, you have things like aerial photography where you bring out the beauty of life on the planet and in the country. Film production, you might see it in that sense too.
Absolutely.
You could see those big, you can see it.
Yeah, definitely swooping down. Swooping. So, you know, the BBC, National Geographic, they're all over this because, I mean, the cost of helicopters is thousands of euro per hour, whereas this would cost 1,300 for the drone. That's it.
That's
how much the drone costs. So basically, you know, if you lose it, okay, not great, but, you know, we buy new and we keep going versus, you know, we didn't get the shot from the helicopter, it's sent up again, it's been another few thousand of it, you know? So
what's, you're using it for commercial purposes now?
I am. I'm using it for aerial photography. So I basically started out in Achill Island because Achill's a great place because it's just so, you know, there's no airports near it, and that's part of the concern with drones, that you need to make sure you're not in controlled airspace.
I can imagine,
So
and it's beautiful.
It's beautiful, absolutely.
Yeah.
So it was down there in November at the Drone and Data Conference. So
they have a drone and
data conference.
And data conference.
Yep.
I didn't know there was such a thing.
Yeah, it was, yes.
There's a lot of you guys around.
Yeah.
Okay, you're all gadget heads who love this sort of technology. Okay, I understand. You're sharing stories and
absolutely.
Know-how.
Yeah,
okay.
And I think you get a vast group of people, either people who are in the kind of camera side, like trying to see where can I get a camera up in the air?
Okay.
That's really cool. Or technology side, like where I came from, whereby technology is cool. This is where it's going. How do we do that?
So when you say, Sean, that you're using it for aerial photography, to what end?
To what end? So, I mean, for the Achill side, it was tourism. So I'm actually working with the Achill Tourist Board at the moment, and we're developing, a collection of Achill's walks. There's 14 walks at Achill, renaming after kind of famous people that used to live there, like Charles Dickens or Captain Boycott, whatever. So we're basically going to try...
Charles Dickens lived in Achill?
Yeah, apparently
you're joking.
Yeah, I didn't know either.
I remember Captain Boycott, of course, famously lived there, but Dickens is new on me.
So the
Charles Dickens walk, and you're there
with
taking
the drone
footage.
Exactly.
Lovely.
And so the tourists can get a sense of, you know, what it'd be like to be on Achill, you know, in June time, walking down this beautiful walk and, you know, get a sense of really being there. So tourism's definitely a huge area of it, and that's where a lot of people are doing work in, and we saw... And there's that great video of the Wild Atlantic Way that was done by Fault Ireland recently. So lots of stuff there. And then the other area is real estate. So, you know, massive, big, you know, housing estates, or not housing estates, but, you know, estates where, you know, these things are worth 14 million euro, whatever. You know, real estate agent's dream. You get to show these incredible estates to international buyers without them having to, you know, leave the comfort of their own home with their iPad, basically. Yeah. So,
and the chopper factor is enormous. I mean, this was always about the helicopter shot, which was so expensive to get.
Exactly.
The chopper, the hire, the pilot, the license, the airspace, and so on. And now you just shoot this thing up in the air and you're away.
Absolutely, yeah. And you can just, I mean, the app on the phone that you see exactly what you're getting, you know, when you're up there, versus you take the camera shot and the helicopter didn't get a go again. And the thing with a helicopter and a drone is that the helicopter could probably go a maximum or a minimum of 1,000 feet. That's probably low, maybe a bit more that I could go, whereas the drone could be 50 feet away. You know, it's gets you a lot more detail than you can get with the helicopter.
Tell me about the people who are paralyzed or quadriplegic and how the drone can be of assistance to them.
That's really interesting stuff. So, I mean, you know, these people obviously are bound to wheelchairs, but there was a recent article there about a chap who's in Manchester, and he took a drone, basically, and you know, hooked it up to his computer, and basically he's able to kind of visit areas he could never get there with a wheelchair. So, you know, go over and, you know, see beautiful vistas, whatever, just from a wheelchair. You know, it's fantastic stuff. And, you know, he used to work in, I think he used to study MIT, so he's taken his actual technology ability and applied it to drones, and now I think he's trying to get funding to actually make, you know, specific drones specifically for, you know, quadruped people to actually go out there and see the world through the drone's eyes, you know.
It's extraordinary. Tell me about this story that broke some time ago, actually, about Amazon delivering product from your desk to the order in 30 minutes, which sounds ludicrous to me. But then, of course, everything sounds ludicrous until it happens.
Exactly.
So, looking at this very small little contraption here, the drone, I'm trying to figure out how they're going to get my box set of whatever it is I've just ordered to me.
Absolutely. So,
in my ignorance, I mean, I'm really no. I mean, looking at me
this,
going,
this is
poor
it.
Agent,
and I think most of the community are going, you know, that's, you know, it's, you talk to most people, that's 5-6 years away. I think technology they're getting there. So it's all about power and battery, and that's going to improve.
Say you live on one main street, Ireland.
Yeah.
And you are a mad fan of Doctor Who.
Yeah.
And you order season one with Peter Capaldi in it, and this is 5 years hence.
Yeah.
And they're in, say, London or wherever, maybe Dublin, they have the...
Yeah.
So what, are they going to... There's going to be like a super-sized one of these things.
Yeah. Yeah.
They get to, the drone comes to your house?
Potentially.
How is this going to happen?
This is it. I mean, you know, that's what they would like to happen.
And how does it know to pick your Doctor Who set?
Or drop your thing.
Charlie Booker with the newspaper? How does it get to the door?
Exactly, I think door-to-door probably is not going to happen, because one happens, you know, where's the drone going to drop it off? How's it going to fight weather?
Yeah.
But I think there is definitely an area for them to do kind of, you know, base-to-base stuff. So drone-based to drone-based.
Okay, that makes more
sense. So DHL actually have done this already with an island just off the coast of wherever it was. Basically, they're sending medical supplies, you know, lightweight medical supplies with a drone, and it's going from drone-based to drone-based. So it's flying a fixed pattern. There's nothing underneath it, and I can make it. So that, I think, would be doable. But I think definitely point-to-point stuff is a long way away.
It's a long way away.
Exactly.
The bad side of military drones, we hear, is that the army sitting on the ground, remote control for want, you know, a plane over a village, drop the bomb and bring it back. Is that where I've heard that bad press for the drone comes from?
Yeah, I mean, that's what we're fighting.
No
really.
Pilot is threatened. Is that, when you
I mean, I think that's where the connotations came from, is because that's where it started, really, and that's the military drones. But I think they were developed with, you know, fighter jets in mind, whereas these commercial drones are developed with your phone in mind. Basically, it's your flying phone.
Yeah.
I think the connotations are changed now, because we're seeing all the positive stuff about drones, the quadriplegic stuff, the aerophotography stuff. So people are less associating the word drone with, you know, the military aspect, and more about what civilian uses can we use it for. So,
Do you think we're at the cusp of something? Do you think this is just the beginning of the drone era?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think most people are now referring to it as the, you know, the car. I mean, you know, it's, when you think about it, you know, we had horses and we had cars, and you're like, what the hell's this car and what's it going to do for us?
Yeah.
You know, now we've got drones, and the camera is the first stage. I mean, that's a sensor, but, you know, nothing's stopping it from, you know, transporting, for instance, you know, blood supplies, you know, and they could save people's lives. There's another one that's an ambulance drone, a chap up in the Netherlands, basically attached defibrillator paddles to this and flies it to a scene. Because the main issue is that an ambulance can't get to somebody in time.
That is extraordinary.
Whereas this thing can get there in 2 minutes, because it's flying, you know, as a crow flies 100 miles per hour, you know, lands, the propellers turn off, the person brings the drone over and takes out the paddles, the guy's talking through the drone speakers, and you just sit there and start the heart.
Wow. I mean, that does take it into a much brighter, sunnier place. Text says, we have 400 people climbing Crowpatrick in May for breast cancer research and have someone bringing a drone that'll give us footage and memories of the day, which is a nice use of it.
Exactly.
Because you get this aerial sight. Can it be specific, Sean, in the sense that if you're looking at 400 people climbing Crowpatrick and you're there with your phone and remote control, can you then focus in on, say, you know, Mary Murphy with her red hat, or does it have to be quite vague?
It depends on the drone. I mean, this one, for instance, is very wide angle, so you're not going to get the kind of close-up image that you want.
Okay.
But if you have a much bigger drone, well, then you can put way more sophisticated cameras on it, in which case you can get that kind of shot. But what most people use the drone for is, because you're up that high, you want to get the sense of, there's Mary on the mountain.
Yes.
And there's the mountain in the west coast of Ireland.
Like, you want to be the bird.
Exactly. You want to be
swooping.
That kind of... That swoopy feeling, you know, let's swoop over and let's see that one thing. So,
well, you're very excited about this technology, and it's good to see you. You're really into it, which is lovely. You've got that passion for it, and I'd say there's lots more to come, is there?
Absolutely. I mean, I think it's just the first stage, and even like yesterday, I saw the EU release new regulations around just really opening it up. That, you know, it won't be the IA policing things potentially later on. It'll be the Gardaí. I mean, it's just like a car, like anything else. You know, you drive your car, you obey the rules of the air now rather than the road. And, you know, hopefully see a lot more innovation coming out of it.
Well, look, thanks for coming in to share that with us this morning. And it's been fascinating. I didn't know what a drone looked like, really. And to see it in the flesh this morning in studio is great. It's kind of opened my mind a bit, which is good news. Thanks, Sean Gallagher. Thanks for your time.
Thanks very much. Take